explains what it actually means for your day.
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Calais decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? Design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
So we are in commencement season. That means there's a lot of graduations going on or have gone on already. Lots of interesting speakers. And, you know, every year it's kind of a fascinating collage of America to see what these speakers decide to say to their audiences and, you know, how the reaction goes and which ones get popular or go viral or whatever and which ones don't. Well, I take you to the University of Central Florida in Orlando for graduation. I think this was last Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Gloria Caulfield, president of the Lake Nona Institute. I know you've never heard of it, and if you had, good for you. And vice president of strategic alliances at Tavistock. Also have never heard of it, and if you had, good for you. She's speaking, and she's talking about the future, which is normal, and talking about tech, which is normal, and you know how when you go to a graduation ceremony and the speaker says something and you think it's good and you applaud or you laugh or whatever, there's always reactions and generally they're positive. Well, I give you the UCF graduation speech, commencement speech by Gloria Caulfield, at least the beginning. Ready? Here we go.
Change is exciting, very exciting. And let's face it, change can be daunting.
Yeah, it sure can be.
The rise of artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution. What happened? Okay, I struck a chord. May I finish?
I don't think I have ever. Maybe I'm forgetting, but I don't think I have ever heard of a graduation ceremony where the commencement speaker got booed for what she said. AI, the rise of AI, is the next industrial revolution. Boo! My goodness, I think, you know, where is Jonathan Green when we need him?
Boo!
So, okay. So she's taken aback by it. And by the way, handles it like a pro, like laughs, can't believe what she's hearing, doesn't crumple or wilt under the adversity. She just decides, well, I got a speech to give. I guess I'm going to give it. She kind of smiles and looks awkward and doesn't quite know what to do. But I mean, here we are.
Only a few years ago, AI was not a factor in our lives.
Wow.
All right. Okay. We've got a bipolar topic here, I see. Okay.
Now, one small note. It's not bipolar. It's unipolar. They hate AI. Bipolar would be if they booed her and then booed again or something. You know, like if you boo two opposite things or cheer two opposite things. They are united in their hatred of AI. And so the idea of a few years ago not having to deal with it, yeah, give us that reality. AI is the next industrial revolution. No, we don't want that.
Boo.
So, okay. She goes on. Again, a trooper to her credit. I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
And now AI capabilities are in the palm of our hands. And
a third time.
Love it. Passion. Let's go. Okay.
Got booed twice. I feel like this is one of those, you know, meme things that you would post spoke for commencement, got booed twice. Not gonna, would rate zero, not going to do again, does not recommend.
And AI is beginning to challenge all major sectors to find their highest and best use.
You know, when you get booed twice and then you get cheered for the contrary of what you're talking about, you kind of, I think you go into every sentence with trepidation. I don't know how they're going to react.
Okay, I don't want any giggles when I say this. We have been through this before, these industrial revolutions. In my graduation era, we were faced with the launch of the internet. Think the very beginning of email and cell phones that were the size of briefcases, okay? And texting, that did not exist. I know it sounds amusing, but at that time, we had no idea how any of these technologies would impact the world and our lives.
And then, you know, she thinks something is going to be funny, and it's not funny. I don't know, it's kind of an odd reaction. One last one before we get to PJ with traffic.
These were some of the same trepidations and concerns we are now facing. But ultimately, it was a game changer for global economic development and the proliferation of new businesses that never existed, like Apple and Google and Meta and so many others, and not to mention countless job opportunities.
All right. I'll give you some analysis here in just a second. But somebody texted me and says that I graduated UCF in 1992, and the commencement speaker was the mayor, the first female mayor. She spoke way long, didn't say anything relevant, and she got booed off the stage. Oh, wow. Okay, I'll take your word for it. So I guess it does happen. I don't remember it ever hearing it myself. In any case, we'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Inner Bay. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so an analysis. First of all, am I the only one who finds this kind of encouraging? Given that I just think AI is like the devil. I mean, I am so concerned about what this is going to mean for the future of humanity and for us serving the machines, or just, you know, everything being replaced in what it means to be human. I'm really, really concerned about this, as you can tell if you listen to the show for any period of time. You know, AI has come along and basically said, you think you do something human? I can do that. I can do it better than you can do it. Now try being human without the ability to think that that's what defines you anymore, whether it's writing or creativity or art or anything. I mean, it's genuinely, it is a very concerning thing, at least to me, you know, and what this means for the economy. But what encouraged me about this is these students who are in it. You know, these are the same students who say that they use AI, you know, 2/3, 3/4 of the time on assignments. It's their first impulse on any assignment is to try AI. Like, they're living it, and they're livid. They don't like it, and they certainly don't like her saying it. Now, I was not able to find out whether this is like a liberal arts commencement ceremony or an engineering commencement ceremony or a general commencement or something. I assume at UCF it's going to be by college, so it's going to be more specific. But in any case, you know, it could have been a bunch of, you know, English and history and creative writing artisty type people who are like, we hate AI. And then the engineer's like, AI is fantastic. I know it. Engineers don't talk like that, but you get the point. So I found it encouraging that the people who are shaping the future hate it. Now, they might hate it because they hate it. They might hate it because they're worried about their own ability to get jobs in a world where you don't know whether your job is going to be rendered irrelevant in 3 years or 2 years or this year or in 5 years. You know, your whole career that you spent your time preparing and spending money to do, and now all of a sudden you don't even have a career anymore. I don't know exactly what's behind their booing. But the fact that they booed was encouraging. To me, that means that they're not quite sold out to the Borg yet. They're not quite there, you know? And I do worry about this generation. All right, but the substantial issue that she raises in her speech is, how do we react to it and what does it mean? And have we been here before? Now, I think that actually I don't think her example does what she wants it to do. her example is, you know, when I graduated, we didn't have cell phones, not really. You know, we didn't have texting. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have email. Not really. I mean, just barely, you know. And look at us now. And I think a lot of us say, yeah, look at us now. We're all addicted to our phones and social media, and we doom scroll, and our two-year-olds are watching screens, and it's not good. So that, as an example, doesn't prove her point. But if you go back in history and you look at, for example, the Industrial Revolution or other various forms of technological innovation, there really is this pattern. It's very common. It's happened many times where technology changes rapidly and it renders obsolete the knowledge that used to define people as people. And then it replaces jobs or causes unemployment, depends on how you want to view it. At the same time, historically, technology has opened up opportunities for employment. And so every time we do something more efficiently, you know, machines replaced laborers in the Industrial Revolution, and, you know, combines replaced cotton pickers in that aspect of the agricultural revolution. But all kinds of things have done that throughout history. The job that your grandfather did probably doesn't even exist anymore. I know at one time my mom, when she got out of college, she was a switchboard operator. You know, literally the woman who would sit there and, you know, where are you trying to call? Okay, plug, unplug, plug, there you go. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. There's no such person anymore. Instead, you have digital switches that do millions of transactions a second for millions of callers, and nobody thinks anything about the poor unemployed switchboard operator because she had to go find something else to do when this digital switching came in. Well, that's been true throughout all of history. You know, nobody is upset about the poor horses that are unemployed because we all drive cars. But it's true. You know, if you cared about horse unemployment, you'd care about that. But nobody does because, you know, the horses don't vote. But it's the same across every industry. So that's history. And she should have chosen better examples for history. Bring us to 2026. Is the rise of AI just another example? Because, by the way, the rate of technological innovation has been accelerating. The things that used to take a generation to transform an industry, or even more than a generation, a century, are now taking a year or 6 months. And the way you did that job, you know, last year might be irrelevant today or uncompetitive today. And that's been true for a while. It's been accelerating. So the question is, with the accelerating pace of technological innovation and with the shifting of employment that that causes, now are we at a different kind of thing with AI? And my answer is yes. It is a different kind of thing. Precisely because AI threatens to not only unemploy you and what you're doing, me and what I'm doing right now. There's certainly an envisionable future, not that far off, where you could just say, make me a witty, engaging, I'm trying to be positive, informative talk show based on the news of the day. Do it in the vocal style of Andrew McKay or somebody smarter, you know, and I'll pay you $8 for that product, and then we air that in, you know, just like the AI DJ in Australia that the station didn't tell people they were doing it. I mean, we're not quite there, but we're pretty close. Okay, so I need a new job, right? What could I do? Well, you could go work in communications. Not so fast. Just have the AI write the press release. Have the AI do the interview. Well, you could go work in HR. Not so fast. Have AI screen the resumes. Well, you could go work in sales. Not so fast. We can, I mean, you see, like, all the other endeavors that a human could do as an alternative are also being sucked up by this technology, at least potentially. And certainly when you put it inside an operational body in the physical world like a robot, I mean, all of a sudden, it's not just a question of finding people something else to do that technology makes possible or freeing up labor to do other things so that in the net we're actually having a greater GDP. All that's been true throughout all of history, certainly over the last 150 or so years. Now, all of a sudden, the alternative jobs don't exist either, or we're worried that they don't. And what will we do with humans when humans don't need to work? Because if the labor is replaced by the AI or the robot or the AI robot, you won't need to work, I won't need to work, and we can all be happy, but who owns the product of that labor, right? And that's where we're, and also the what does it mean to be a human? When a person can study for 40 years to be a great artist and some large language model comes along and whips up the art and, you know, maybe it's not quite as good or maybe it's even better, designs the video games, figures out the play, even performs it with hologram. I mean, anyway, it is different. And although it is an important message to remind people that historically everyone freaked out when technology eradicated an industry or made it so you didn't have humans to do it, we are at a point now where nobody knows the scale or the ultimate shakeout of the impacts of this particular kind of technological innovation. So I probably would have booed her too. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a roof that you think needs repairing or needs replacing or you're not quite sure what it needs, call Quality Roofing Solutions. They have been doing this for 20 years here locally, so they're not brand new. They have done 10,000 roofs. They are a 4.9 rating on Google. Human beings on Google rate them a 4.9. That is an insanely high ranking. And why? Because they just try to do it better. You know, they know kind of the reputation that people have when it comes to contractors or builders and construction folks. They know, and they just try to be not that. First of all, they've been here for a long time. You know, Brian Ward started this company just to be the company that would be different. Talk to you like a normal person, not talk down to you, not treat you like you're dumb because you don't understand, educate you, help you make good decisions, and know that you're really not waking up in the morning excited about their product, but you might need it. So if that's you, and you'd like the idea of a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs, which who does that? My God. Anyway, give them a call. 777-0961 for qualityroofingsolutions.com. Traffic on the fives now, PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, the front gate of NAS Pensacola is still backed up to Inner Bay Avenue. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Daryl Sewing of Pensacola is celebrating mom the entire month of May with incredible deals on Bernina sewing machines. Save up to 45% on favorites like the B770QE Pro, the B570QE, and the B335. Don't miss big savings on Kangaroo sewing cabinets, including the Laverne and Shirley, up to 25% off with free accessories on select models. Visit Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or online at sewinginpensacola.com. Daryl's, where creativity begins.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy's good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
Good morning, 629 News Radio 92.3. We're getting a bunch of funny texts in about the issue of AI. Somebody says, you know, I said back in the day, no software can ever argue with the off switch. Yeah, when they can fight back. Somebody says, are you sure the horses aren't voting? Yeah, I don't know. I'm from Chicago. My grandfather was a moonshiner. He was replaced. You think teachers and college professors are threatened by AI? Absolutely. Yes, of course. Who's going to build the robot? Well, the robot will build the robot. Obviously, you're not keeping up, but that's exactly right. 437-1620. Somebody else said AI songs are going number one. What will it do to the music industry? Yes, everything. That's the point. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump will arrive in Beijing today, where he is set to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping tomorrow. The White House says the visit will focus on trade, but they'll also likely talk about the conflict in Iran, as China is Iran's biggest trading partner. And real quick here, two Air Force pilots are safe after a crash in Lamar County, Alabama yesterday. Officials say a T-38 Talon II aircraft had taken off from Columbus Air Force Base when it had engine trouble. Both pilots safely ejected.
Yeah, that's the jet trainer for the Air Force, and thank God they're fine, which is obviously very good news. Somebody says a lot of the programmers entry level are being replaced, so you're not developing the advanced skills, too.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump will land in China shortly to begin his two-day state visit. It's the first time he's on Chinese soil since 2017.
We have a lot of things to discuss. I wouldn't say Iran is one of them, to be honest with you, because we have Iran very much under control.
Now, White House correspondent Aisha Hosni in Beijing reports the war with Iran will be on the agenda.
He did say that he's going to have a very long talk with him about Iran, as China is the one that stands to benefit the most from the Strait of Hormuz reopening.
Well, the fragile ceasefire in Iran is holding despite the president saying it's on life support. A group of 16 business executives, including representatives from Apple, Boeing, Meta, and SpaceX are traveling to China as part of the U.S. delegation. Price of a gallon of regular gas, according to AAA, up a penny overnight, landing at $4.51. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 65 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That is up here in just a few minutes. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons is headed to Washington, D.C. today, where he's going to add Deputy Jeremy Cassidy's name to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. That completes a trio of memorial ceremonies held across three different levels of government. Sheriff Simmons said it's only right to be present for all three of those ceremonies.
We don't often go to the all three memorials, but unfortunately,
in this case,
you add one of your own to these memorials, and the family goes, we think it's only right and fitting that we represent Escambia County and say
absolutely
thank you to the sacrifice.
And Cassidy succumbed last year to injuries suffered in the line of duty years earlier. The agency has already attended ceremonies in Tallahassee and held its own local memorial this week. Simmons does say Cassidy's name will now be permanently honored at the national level in Washington, D.C. Governor DeSantis has signed legislation sponsored by Senator Don Gates to establish a statewide framework for rounding cash transactions now that the U.S. Mint has discontinued the penny. The law takes effect immediately, applies only to in-person cash transactions, totals ending in 1 or 2 cents round down, 3 or 4 cents round up to the nearest nickel. The world's biggest commercial vehicle inspection blitz is underway currently at weigh stations, and this is a nationwide effort. The Florida Highway Patrol is one of the agencies participating in this. It lasts through Thursday. The Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's annual road checks focus on electronic logging devices and cargo securement. FHP does have troopers stationed at the I-10 weigh station in Escambia County, and reportedly they plan on weighing dozens of trucks each day. It's a long 37-step inspection process, takes up to 3 hours per truck, and any vehicle with critical violations is stopped until the issues are resolved. Trucks that pass get a decal recognized by other states as well. FHP is also participating in Operation Drive Safe, a multi-state crash prevention initiative. Well, 3,000 people participated in a Veterans Town Hall yesterday, put on by Congressman Jimmy Patronis. With access to health care and benefits at the top of the list of concerns discussed, veterans overwhelmingly asked Patronis to focus on expanding medical care access for veterans and also increase benefits for military families. A lot of people expressed some frustration with having to travel all the way to Biloxi for VA care. Patronis said the best option to expand access to veterans would be to expand community care programs at the VA. He said it would likely cost a little too much and take too long to build a VA hospital locally. Patronis also pledged to pursue solutions for traffic congestion on Highway 98 near Hurlburt Field. Now, Florida recent graduates are finding jobs. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says it's a tough labor market right
now. The slowing labor market is posing a challenge to recent college grads, with many new graduates finding work in southern cities. It was found that Birmingham and Tampa were at the top of the list of destinations for graduates. Four other southern cities were also listed in the top 10, including Raleigh, Tulsa, Nashville, and Charlotte. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
6:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, David. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. Mobile highways clear through Beulah. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some sunshine today, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 84. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into your Friday, we will keep sunny skies around, high near 82 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, partly cloudy skies. We've got 63 degrees across the area. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump may be discussing suspending the gas tax amid soaring energy prices, but experts say it won't result in immediate relief at the pump. Carl Davis, research director at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, told TribLive.com that you can't suspend the tax and then expect everyone to wake up in the morning and gas is suddenly 18 cents cheaper. SoftBank booked a yearly gain of $46 billion in its Vision Fund, driven mainly by the huge rise in value of its investment in OpenAI. The Japanese giant has invested more than $30 billion in OpenAI, with its investment gains in the company totaling $45 billion in the year that ended in March. Treasury yields fell this morning as investors digested the implications of a hotter-than-expected April inflation reading, which saw consumer prices rise to their highest level in nearly 3 years. The yield on the 10-year Treasury fell more than one basis point at 4.459%. Futures are mixed ahead of more inflation data this morning. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. That's Your Money Now.
Lunch was great, but this traffic is awful.
Can we stop at a bathroom?
Are you all right?
I keep having stomach issues after eating, like diarrhea, gas and bloating, abdominal pain, and sometimes oily stools.
Sound familiar? Those stomach issues may actually be a pancreas issue called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Creon pancrolipase may help manage EPI. Creon is a prescription medicine used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you are allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. Call 800-633-9110 or visit creoninfo.com to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
I'm asking my doctor about EPI and if Creon could help.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing. growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We have just recently leased three more rear loader garbage trucks. They'll go into action tomorrow. I'm going to be crewing them with Pensacola Energy drivers and temps on the back.
Awesome.
So we're going to get caught up with that and focus on it. We're looking at a 30-day window that we throw these trucks out there. I have pickups pulling dump beds on the back. If there's if you can walk and chew gum, you're picking up something for sanitation. So we have everybody out there.
I don't think they have to be able to do both. I think if they can walk or chew gum, you put them to work. Daryl Singleton, sanitation director for the city of Pensacola, there speaking to the Pensacola City Council during their agenda review meeting on Monday. So when he says tomorrow, he meant yesterday. I'm playing it on Wednesday, so don't get confused. You're all familiar with time travel scenarios. Anyway, so that's the three new trucks that they have reassigned to work in yard debris removal. And they're out and, you know, basically working hard to remedy a situation where we're way behind because of an enormous volume of yard debris this year for reasons that are only somewhat understood, but we'll get to that.
And how would people know when they should put it back out
Keep
again?
Keep doing it. We're going to get you on your day. That's what
okay.
we want to get back
Got
to.
It.
If you're
All
Tuesday,
right.
we're
going
to be there Tuesday. Put it there. We're coming. Please, you know, don't hesitate. I'd rather you put it out and we're going to get it.
Okay.
So just stay there. I'm not guaranteeing we'll be there Tuesday, but our goal is we're going to get to where we're there Tuesday.
All right, so put it out on your regular day. Don't try to, you know, game the system or worry about when it's going to come. They're doing extra is the idea.
It's your day, then we want you to keep the same day, put it out. We're coming. We're going to split these trucks up and have them running all over. The best way, if you bag your leaves, of course, they can grab those quicker. The rear loaders can grab anything that's bagged. It takes longer to get the piles of leaves, and they got to use a knuckle boom. It takes forever to, you know, pick it up and load it. And if you can feel a little mercy on your fellow residents, try not to leave us a pile that's, you know, from one side of your property to the other and 20 foot tall. If you'll leave, you know, a decent 6x6 pile, we'll grab it and can move on to the next people. It's the reloads. Take time. I mean, once you fill up a truck, then it's got to reload and come back. So one big, huge pile in front of a house might cost us an hour.
So a couple of things there that are worth mentioning. Number one is the thing that you said last, which is if you have a lot of yard debris, you know, kind of try not to take more than your fair share of the resource that's being devoted to you. You know, don't put out the giant piles. You know, try to keep it within that 6x6 is kind of the ideal. But also what I thought was useful is the admonition of put it in a bag, because bagged yard debris is so much more easy for them to pick up and throw in the back of the truck as opposed to things that have to be grabbed by the picker. And those things, you know, takes that particular tool. It also takes a whole lot longer. And if it's loose, as opposed to being bagged up. You know, those are all things that slow the process down. And so do, in fact, bag it. Definitely bag it. And avoid the big piles. Jen Brayer.
Some constituents claim that they've been told by the drivers that, let's say it's Monday, you're a Monday day, right? And at the end of Monday, they're done with Monday, and the next day they start Tuesday. They said when they, and they might not have been finished with Monday's route, but Tuesday starts Tuesday. And then on the following Monday, they said instead of starting where they left off, they start over at the beginning of the route, which is why the neighbors have been thinking some houses are getting picked up on time and some are taking 3.5 weeks because they're at the end of the route. That's the first suggestion that's going on out there. The other...
If I could take that one. 100% wrong. We spent 7 days straight in your district.
Yeah.
7 days straight. Where we stopped off, we came back. The truck got full half a street. We're back on Hilltop at the very next home to load the truck and continue on nonstop. We took 320 tons, I believe, just out of your district in that week, and we went there every day.
And you can actually, I do not pretend to understand all the maps or the way this is all designed, but you can understand the question, which is, think about it in terms of like a mail delivery. Okay, you know how the mail runs a route, right? Well, imagine that, again, pick a street, okay, going from one end of the street to the other. If the street were the whole route, well, if your Monday assignment for that route is to start at the east end of the street or west end of the street and go to the east, and you go until you're out of time, and then you quit and you don't get all the way done, you got to come back the next day, and you start at the beginning of the street again. It's kind of like you never get to the end of the street or the end of the route. That's what she's saying, is that over the course of time, if they're going on Monday and starting on the route that's a Monday route, and they go until they're done for the day, and then they quit and they knock off, they come back next Monday, they start that route again, what happens to the back third of the route? It just doesn't get picked up for weeks and weeks. That's the problem. And he says, no, it's just, it hasn't worked that way. I don't know, but I know they're devoting a lot of extra resources to it now. There's other questions about this we'll get to in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Things are looking really good out there. Highway 29 is accident-free through Cantonment. Highway 90, clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. And by the way, I should be clear. This is the city of Pensacola. We're not talking about Milton or Gulf Breeze or Escambia or Santa Rosa counties. We're specifically talking about the city of Pensacola. Jared Moore wants to ask the question, which is a good question. Okay, if you want us to bag it, does it have to be in the recyclable, you know, the paper bags, or can it be any bag? Can it be a garbage bag if we're trying to bag up our leaves, for example? Although I don't think you really have leaves right now, but, you know, you may have some stuff. I don't know.
So I heard, anyway, I just want to make sure I understood. You said for like the loose leaves and things like that to put it in a bag. And I've always told people, don't put it in a plastic bag, put it in a paper bag. Is that, it doesn't matter what type of bag?
I don't care what kind of bag okay. You put it in. If you put it in a bag, it's just, then when we're going with those rear loaders, you can walk by, just grab it and toss them in.
Perfect.
You said going down both sides of the street. So paper preferred, plastic, fine with me.
Just make it easy.
It just make it quicker and easier to clean your street.
Cool. All right. I just want to make sure before I went running around preaching the plastic gospel and then it was all wrong.
We prefer paper, but whatever makes it easier, we can load those bags.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I'm assuming, they didn't really get in the detail of it, but I'm assuming that the reason for paper is because you can compost, recycle the paper. Like ECUA has a whole facility devoted to turning your yard debris into compost material, which it can then resell and people use for planting and all kinds of stuff. And I believe this is all just going to the landfill. Okay, and so it wouldn't matter whether it's in paper or plastic. I believe that's the case. In any case, Jen Brayer, Hibben mentioned that they're 14 days behind at minimum. Like everywhere in the city is 14 days behind. That's an unbelievable number. That's a real, yeah, that's bad.
Now that I see that you're saying everyone's at least 14 days behind, I'm kind of, that'll, because they were feeling like they were imagining or that people were suggesting they were lying. So I'm glad to see that acknowledgement. And then some have been much more behind. Yes. So if it's, is it an average of 14 days? I think that what you said is no one's less than 14 days.
No one is less than 14 days behind. There are some areas that are 21, 26 days behind. But no one is less than 14 days behind.
That's Amy Miller, the deputy city administrator.
And for sure, my district was 37, 39, and I know it's a big district, but...
We've never left your district.
Yeah,
I know. We're still there.
I know.
So the mayor has been addressing this as well. In fact, in his press conference yesterday, he talked about this. And, you know, the the why this is happening is still a bit of an open question, but the what that's happening is a massive increase in the total amount of yard debris that has been put out from 6 million 2 years ago at this time through the month of May to 7.5 million last year at this time through the month of May to now it's at 9.5 and it's going to be over 10 million pounds of debris by the end of the month this year. You know, what in the world is going on?
Bottom line is there's no excuse of us making sure that we get service and service recovered on time. That's our number one focus. Then we can have a bigger conversation about how we probably need to do a little more strict enforcement as it pertains to what is allowed under the free yard pickup, which is a 6x6 block, and no contractors are allowed to drop their, if they cut palm trees in someone's yard, the contractor is required to take that with them. That is clearly not happening. Clearly not happening.
And again, I just personally, I kind of wonder, like, we do most of our yard work is typically in the summer or the fall. So I guess right now people are doing tree trimming and, I mean, leaves and first mow and all of that kind of stuff, I suppose, is kind of put all that together. But he says that part of the problem is that people are, the contractors are coming in and doing tree work and they're leaving their limbs to be picked up by the city for free, which is an externalizing choice. Externalizing in economics is when you try to make somebody else pay for the thing that you caused. And so the tree trimmers are externalizing the cost to the city where it's a free service. Yeah, but if everybody does that and if there's not enough enforcement of that, then eventually in the aggregate, you get an extra couple of million pounds of stuff that somebody has to pick up, and they're picking it up for free and they're not charging you, but that requires us to devote extra crews, extra, you know, three extra trucks to the idea. And so that's basically where we're at.
We certainly believe that when you go up 4 million pounds in 2 years, that is not, we cannot blame that on Mother Earth. And that the soil was a little more fruitful this year. I don't think that that's a 4 million pound discussion.
And I don't think, like, people are saying, what about population increase? The population of the city hasn't much changed. It's 55,000. It's been 55. I mean, it's some influx, but it's the counties that are growing, you know, not the city so much, not by this kind of amount.
Talking to the guys on the trucks that are going out there, they've been doing this for a long time. They know the difference between a family bagging their leaves and putting it on the side and maybe it being a little larger than 6x6 and half a ton of palm fronds sitting there that certainly were not conducted by that family, nor, and it was done professionally, et cetera. So again, that is something that's a tomorrow conversation, not a today conversation. There is no way that we believe that we've seen a 5 million pound increase in yard waste in 24 months. And we think that is because our soil is performing better here in the city.
So my own theory about this is I think it's a variety of factors. I think that it's a combination of the contractors and people putting stuff out, although we're in a drought, so I'm not sure what's growing. We have been in a drought. I'm not sure what's growing that's causing the problem. I think they were understaffed. You know, they had some staff problems early in the year, and I think it kind of got beyond them in terms of how serious the problem was, and now they're trying to fix it after the fact. But the volume itself is, you know, that's not the city's fault. I mean, the volume would be what the volume would be. It just wouldn't necessarily have been sitting quite as long on some people. And I'm sure if it's sitting, like I got somebody texting me about a location where it's been sitting now for 3 or 4 weeks, and this poor woman, it keeps adding to the pile, but it's killing her lawn, which is what happens when you leave anything on the lawn that takes away the sunlight for a long period of time. So I know the mayor knows that it's been a struggle. I know that they've devoted extra resources to it. Daryl Singleton, you know, they're working on it real hard. You know, Amy Miller's been out at the at sanitation every day in the last week or so. That's what the mayor said yesterday. But, you know, if it's your yard, it's frustrating, which I totally understand. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, every once in a while you have to replace your car. Or you get to replace your car. I don't know how you look at it. But if you're like me, you usually put this off for a variety of reasons because you get accustomed to what your car is, even if it's, you know, old and kind of taking too many repairs. And I tend to drive my cars till they don't run anymore. You know, 200, 300,000 miles is my norm. But I don't like to admit that it needs to be replaced because then I'm going to have to spend money. And then I'm going to have to go deal with the salespeople. And then I'm going to have to go do the looking, which is annoying. And then maybe I make a bad decision. And I got to live with a bad decision for, you know, all the things. Okay. Well, Frontier just tries to be better. And they can't fix all that. You know, some of it's inherent in the process. But one thing they try to be is transparent. So you ask about a car, you get a Carfax and the price of the car, a total out-the-door price, and that's the only thing you ever talk about. There's no, hey, did you also think about this after the fact? They warranty every car to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They're all going to come, you know, fairly young, 1 to 3 or 4 years, 10 to 40,000 miles, that kind of thing. So good quality cars in great condition. But they just try to be the place that you not only don't mind coming back to, but kind of like. So that you want to come back again and again because they treat you well. Repeat business is their business model. So they do it differently. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.
One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good Lord. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jack Daniels got a history.
I know John is going to be sad that he missed the moment I played a country song on the station.
Yes, he will.
But you can be the representative of Cat Country this morning, since PJ also does a show on Cat Country. So either one of you, it's fine either way.
That's Shaboozy Bar.
Yeah, I know. I like that song. It's fun. All right. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Things are looking good around News Radio land. Avalon Boulevard is clear through the Garson Point Bridge. 3-mile bridge, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, PJ. On the issue of the yard debris, somebody says, yeah, that's what we've been dealing with. It's a running joke. Are they coming this week? Are they not coming today? The rains ruined the paper bags. Now there's a pile of leaves where the 10 bags used to sit. My husband's going to have to bag that pile again. The yard waste amount does not change. If a homeowner cuts it or a contractor cuts it, it's still the same amount of yard waste. Somebody else says, yeah, but if you know, they're more efficient, they can cut a lot more fast. More quickly, I suppose. It's a good point, though. I'll mention that to the mayor. The contractor work piles frequently. At least I do in my neighborhood over in East Pensacola Heights. Increase in population. I said, I don't think that's the issue particularly. Somebody says, why don't we bring in some temp contractors like FEMA does for storm debris? I don't think we're quite to that point, but also cost. You know, I mean, they've already put like $50,000 into this. So, how much do you want to pay for a service that you don't pay extra for? 6:57 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The astronauts of NASA's Artemis II moon mission were on Capitol Hill Tuesday. They met with Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, which is chaired by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Cruz said, with the success of Artemis II, America is once again pushing the boundaries of what's possible. PayPal will pay a $30 million settlement with the Department of Justice over concerns of bias in favor of minority-owned businesses. The issue centered on the company's Economic Opportunity Fund, which aimed to use $530 million to uplift black and minority-owned small businesses. The Justice Department accused that program of being discriminatory. And the World Health Organization says there are no signs of the start of a wider hantavirus outbreak. According to the WHO, there have now been 11 cases reported, with 9 of those being confirmed, and all of them are among passengers or crew of the infected cruise ship where 3 people died.
Well, that's great. I spent all day yesterday stocking up on toilet paper just so I could be prepared, and now you're telling me that it's not going to be a problem. Well, wonderful.
Don't worry, you'll need all that toilet paper when the AI revolution comes and and the world's shut down for that. So,
you know, everybody thinks that the you know, that Judgment Day is going to be when the you know, when Skynet launches the nukes or when the Matrix enslaves us all in energy pods or whatever. But you know, if the AI is savvy enough to become self-aware and not so reactionary that it just goes on its first impulse of how to hurt the humans, I mean, there's a lot of things that it could do that would be, you know, slow torture. Like, I mean, suddenly all of the toilet paper shipments just don't seem to show up on time, right? It's like, what would be the most...
So you're saying AI is just going to become self-aware and start trolling us?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know...
just minor annoyances at once.
All the ways we imagine the AI going wrong. And I think, what if the AI just becomes mean and clever? I mean, if it's clever enough to draw pictures and write essays, it's surely clever enough to figure out a way to bully us, low-key bully us in a way that we don't notice. And then we're all, man, everything just sucks right now. And I thought this was cotton, but it's agitating my allergic reflex. Yeah. You know, like...
new fear unlocked. Thanks, Andrew.
there's peanut dust in here, and people are having an allergic reaction. How would that mix-up happen? I don't know. Who manufactured it? Oh, automation.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf Breeze.